get home, well, right them dirty too. I said I'm broken, hungry, right them dirty too. Mama, if I clean up camp, I go home with you. I'm motherless, fatherless, sister and brotherless too. I said, motherless, fatherless, sister and brotherless too. Reason I tried so hard to make this trip with you.
Well, here we are, the Brian and Vinny Show. It is Tuesday night. That's right, Tuesday, November 4th, 2008, here at figure4online.com. A very historic night. We have a new WWE champion.
And a new night for the Brian and Vinny Show.
Many
true
things.
History.
We have a new president, everybody.
I'll
we all
you,
know that.
We're going to. We know, now we know who it's going to be.
I'm not going to... We don't need to be specific, Vince. We have a new fucking president. Now, listen. I'm not going to talk politics on this show, because this is not a political show. I'm not going to talk about who everybody voted for, or who you should have voted for, or anything like that. But I will say that the fact that Barack Obama got elected president is a historic night for this country.
It's
That's
a
just
big,
a fact.
It's a big fucking deal.
It's a big step for a country that has had some problems with certain minorities over the years. So congratulations, America. You've taken a step.
In recent history.
A positive step towards not being assholes.
When my dad was born, we still had separate drinking fountains.
Sure. Don't have to worry about that anymore.
No. And you know, me personally, if you had asked me 3 years ago, could a black man win the election? Hell no. I'm a fool.
Well,
underestimated you, America. Underestimated you.
We always knew you were a fool anyway.
Further evidence.
Yeah. Some good promos from both sides this evening. Some good promos.
I will also note that fans...
some good crowds.
Crowds chanting "Yes, we can" sound almost exactly like crowds chanting HBK.
Good heat.
There was plenty of great heat.
Good heat. Yeah, there was a lot of excitement this evening. A lot of people jumping up and down around the country, and you know, it's there was a feeling of I will say this. I'm not going to say who I voted for or anything like that. We don't need to get in this discussion, but I will just tell you some facts, and that is that. I was at the gym, Cascade Elite, a couple of years ago, actually. And, you know, there's kids today. I realize I'm almost out of the 18 to 34 demographic, so I'm
yes.
I got about 2 years left before I'm no longer cool. But anyway, the point is,
you keep telling yourself that.
Well, I know it'll actually be many, many more years, but
that's not what I meant, but anyway.
I look at these kids today. And I look back to the 60s and even all the insanity in the 80s, and I'm always thinking, like, where are the revolutionists? You know what I mean? Where are the kids today that want to start a revolution? Nobody cares about a revolution nowadays. Kids nowadays want to play video games and listen to their iPod and be emo. What the fuck happened to this country? Now, all I will say and all I know is I've been getting texts all night. And I've been getting emails all night, and people have been calling. Every person I know under the age of about 30, I shouldn't say everybody, but at least 90 to 95% of those people all were going crazy for Barack Obama. All these fucking people registered to vote. All these people were harassing people that I knew to vote. These people, for once in their lives, this was a revolution for these people.
Yes.
And so good for them. They did a revolution. Who knows how it'll turn out, but the fact is that the revolution came about. So there you go.
There was a sign in the Chicago rally that I'm sure everyone's seen by now. It's just very simple. It just said in huge letters, "We have overcome." And I don't even necessarily think that's true, but I got such a chill at that. And I'm white.
You are very, very white.
I am excessively white, but I have nieces and nephews who are part Mexican. I have cousins who are part Mexican. I have nieces and nephews who are part Korean. My cousin's kids are part black.
All right, you're diverse. Go on.
I'm happy they're going to grow up in a world where they know that they can do whatever they want.
And this show's getting too mushy.
I understand. Well, it.
Let's.
I'm the most anti-political person you'll ever know, but this is too big to ignore. It's not just Barack Obama. There's also the fact that they set a record for the number of, I believe it was in the Senate, the number of women senators is a new record.
Sure.
And when Barack Obama in his speech, he was listing black and white, Republican and Democrat, young and old, and he just casually threw out there gay and heterosexual, and then just moved on, and it wasn't even a big deal. That's also cool.
Well, that's what must be done, though.
I know.
He couldn't dwell on it or say fruits, for example. It's politics. Come on.
I'm happy right now.
Let's talk about the real meat of the matter, everybody.
Men in their underwear pretending to fight. Oh.
What was a bigger burial? 338 to 141 at last count, or Batista's title reign lasting 8 days? I'm not sure. I actually think that Batista got jobbed a lot worse than John McCain in this election.
Oh,
what
I definitely
a
think
loser
so, yeah.
he turned out
I,
to
I,
be.
Well, yeah. The 338, not to get in the Electoral College rant, but the popular vote was much closer than that. Whereas no one disputes that Dave Batista's a loser.
Yep. Let me say one more thing, too. I don't want to get
into... Who cares about the subject matter of this show tonight?
I don't want to get into a big political rant again, but I want to say one thing here. Now, we're talking about how Obama got elected, and he's not totally black, but he's black. And,
in this country, he counts as black.
Sure, he's black. And, we're talking about this is a big deal for the country, and it isn't all that, but... I just want to say that I looked at some of the totals for some of the states down south, and I don't remember what state it was, but I could have sworn one of them was like 80% McCain. Now,
I think you're mistaken, but go ahead.
I realize that there were many states that voted for John McCain and everything like that, and I can understand it being 55-45 or 60-40, but when I see a state that's 80%. For the white guy and 20% for the black guy, that's when I think this country is not completely.
No, like I say,
we're not all the way there
we
yet.
We have not yet overcome, in fact.
We're overcoming.
We're on the way.
That's
this is
right.
A positive step. I spent the past like 8 hours flipping channels. I want to touch on one thing. The BBC was covering this, which amused me because there will never, well, I shouldn't say never. The chance of an English election being covered in the U.S. is hysterically small. But the BBC was covering this, and as far as what they said and their analysis and their technical, the content of their show was as good as anything I saw all night. The production was so junior high level. There were people like walking in front of the camera all night. They would go to a cutaway, some person live somewhere, a British reporter in Florida, and then they would come back to the set with five people, and they start talking, and suddenly two of them would just stand up and leave. They couldn't have left during the set. I laughed at this repeatedly, over and over and over again.
Now let me segue this election coverage into a rant on the board, and the internet in general. Now, I wish that the internet is an insane place. It's such a wacky place. And, whether you voted for Obama or not, I read a lot of people that have this tremendous fear of what Obama is going to do for this country.
Mm-hmm.
Like tomorrow, there's going to be a zipper on his head, and he's going to zip it all the way down, and he's going to pull it out, and Hitler's going to come out or something wacky.
A woman on The Daily Show who, last week, they said, "I'm afraid if he's elected president, he will immediately put on a turban."
What the fuck is wrong with people?
I don't know.
What is wrong with people? There was a level of hysteria that I saw on the internet the last couple of days that was just mind-boggling. That reminded me in some ways of the stuff that you see on... And actually, more specifically, MMA boards. That's what I saw the last couple of days. That's my tie-in there. But it's just, there's some people that 4 years from now... I'm not saying everything's going to be better. Maybe nothing will be better. Who knows? Who knows what will happen in the world? A fucking asteroid could hit this fucking country in January, and shit could be way worse 4 years from now. All right? But the hysteria and the idiocy that I have read, there's some people that are going to feel awfully dumb in 4 years. And why are we still talking about this? Just because it's history.
It's a big effing deal.
Well, so is the fact that we're now on Tuesdays. Let's get down to business here.
How right, far everybody. Have we gone into the show, by the way?
And speaking of people on the internet reading too much anything, somebody on the internet was on the board was like, "Why is the show on Tuesday? Vince doesn't have a job. He should be able to do this at any time." And for once, this was not your fault, Vince. This is my fault, everybody. And let me tell you, let me lay down the law right here. I'm not doing this show on Mondays anymore. Done. I cannot do it. I tried when we did the merger and we moved the show to Tuesday. There were some complaints, and I was like, fine, I'll try this fucking thing on Mondays again. Against my will, mind you. I did this for the people. For the people. And I tried, and it's just not going to work. I have to finish the newsletter on Monday night. There's no point in doing the newsletter on Tuesday, because the Observer comes out Wednesday morning. Why do you need the Observer and the Figure Four on Wednesday morning? You don't!
No.
Figure Four is a fine little appetizer for the main course. I am fine with admitting that. That's what it is. So this has to be done, this newsletter, on Monday night. That means on Monday, most of the day is spent working on this newsletter. The newsletter cannot be done until after Raw. So, after Raw, I've got to watch an entire Raw, which is 2 hours.
Three this week,
which don't even get me started. I have to watch an entire Raw show. Then I have to finish the newsletter and do a Dave show and do a Vinny show. Which, for those of you who have not done a show, is more than just talking for 60 minutes. There's a lot of bullshit involved with setting it up, getting it done, editing it, uploading it, and all that other stuff. I cannot do two shows. There's no fucking way. So it's over. Monday night Brian Vinny show is over. It's going to be Tuesday from now on. If you don't like hearing the show 4 days late, or which granted, SmackDown Report on Tuesday is pretty ridiculous. And in fact, reviewing any of these shows on Tuesday night after the newsletter with the TV reports has already come out is pretty pointless. But that's the way it's going to be. If you don't like it, you don't have to listen to the show. Anchor, I don't know what to tell you. This is just the way it's going to be. Now, on the bright side, the drop board's fixed.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
So I can, in fact, play wacky songs here for everybody, which should make them all extraordinarily happy. Actually, probably only Anchor. But
some people will be sad.
Now we can play songs like this. Watch this.
Yeah.
The only song worth playing. What?
Dancing to beat the
drum. You broke the drop board.
She was dancing.
And I failed.
She was dancing.
And I failed. Failed. Failed.
She was dancing to beat the devil.
She was dancing a lot. Cockety walks. Cockety walks. Cockety
yeah.
walks.
Yeah. It's a great country, everybody. Cockety walks.
Someone's got to turn that into
Cockerly.
A song. Fail.
Cockerly? Cockerly? All right. You know what else? What's the point of you in reviewing Raw on this show? I reviewed the entire show yesterday with Dave. What more do we need here? Your insight?
I have nothing to say about that show.
What we should do on this show is review the stuff that we don't review with Dave. For example, he never reviews Hogan's Celebrity Wrestling.
How can that be?
I don't know what's wrong with the man. And we don't ever really talk all that much about SmackDown because, realistically, who fucking cares? The show's lame. So, I think tonight...
Awesome.
I will allow you to give a couple of thoughts about Raw, since I have already talked about it. I'll talk a little more about what a failure Batista is. We could discuss the possibility that now that John McCain has lost the election, he could be the new GM, which somebody suggested in an email tonight.
That's awesome.
Which I would not be averse to. Although, let me tell you something. When they showed Obama and McCain last night and they were going over their speech again,
mm-hmm.
First off, Obama was so obviously reading a teleprompter, which was fine. His big wacky grin at the end saved it. But when McCain referred to his fans as McCainites, I was like, how does this stuff happen? McCainites?
Yeah.
Jesus.
That was the night that McCain and Obama and Miss Clinton were all on Raw. Probably the low point in American political history.
No. The low point in American history was the Masked Magician. That was the low point in American television history.
Yeah, that was the segment I warned you about.
Vince, you motherfucker, you told me there was a bad segment on the show, but at least it was short. What was short about this? He had to lock and unlock every lock on that fucking box, and it was 4 minutes of the clunkiest television I've ever seen for the dumbest fucking trick.
It looks so fake. It looks faker than any fake wrestling match I ever saw.
This was the worst segment I've ever seen. That's when I realized, why does anybody watch SmackDown?
It was really, really bad. The only reason I can't say it was the worst segment ever is because they went back to the building, and you just heard JR say softly, amazing.
Amazing. Amazing that made television.
It was all he can muster.
What bad shit.
That was really, really bad.
All right, go ahead and talk about that show last night, that three-hour disaster
show. Very, very long show. Randy Orton came out. He reminded us all that it was going to be him or Mike Adamly, and the McMahons were not there yet, which always amuses me when the owner is late for his own show.
You know, I'm looking at this map, by the way. I hate to interrupt you, but it's the map of the red and the blue states. And my God, did John McCain get jobbed. Both coasts, oh my God, halfway through the Midwest, Florida. Think of the dirty South and a bunch of old people. All voted for Obama. Think about that.
Well,
Jesus.
Yeah.
All right, go ahead.
So, yes.
We need to make a political show here. I think we should just turn the corner and just start talking about the world. No one cares about wrestling.
I've been saying that for a long time.
Well, certainly Impact.
When we first did the merger, you were concerned about, will people want to hear me talk about wrestling after they've heard Dave talk about wrestling? And I thought, well, no, let's just open the newspaper, read a headline, and comment on it.
Well, that may be the future of the
show,
everybody.
That may be the future of the show.
There may be more change with Obama's election.
Pop culture and potpourri.
The death of the Brian and Vinny show.
Well, no, the rebirth of the Brian and Vinny show. But for now, we're stuck talking about guys in the underwear pretending to fight. So, we had the Hardys versus MVP and Kendrick. They were playing clips of great Raw moments all night long, and they showed the clip here of Jeff doing the giant dive off the stage onto Randy Orton. The highlight of this was afterwards when they showed Matt, who reacted to the video by saying, wow. Then he turned to Randy Orton, pointed at him, and gave him a thumbs up, which was tremendous. So they had this little match. MVP got jobbed. And the highlight, I guess, was that they got the heat on Jeff, and it lasted about 10 seconds. And then they got the heat on MVP. And I mean, they cut him off. They worked him over for a few minutes. And then behind the ref's back, they double-teamed him and got the pin. It was a strange little... faces acting like heels moment, but match was okay, although it should be noted that at this point, and I guess this is not a surprise, but Jeff is so much a bigger star than Matt. People did not care about Matt at all. They were totally into Jeff. They aired clips of the very first episode. My favorite part of this was the giant Ico Pro banner. I think Ico Pro was sadly missed in the world. They showed clips of the 1-2-3 kid beating Razor Ramon, which was a cool moment. They had an 8-man battle royal for the IC title shot featuring a bunch of geeks. So the highlight was Santino on commentary. There's a point where Jamie Noble and Cody Rhodes almost dumped each other, and Santino calmly noted, I could beat both of them anyway. And then Priceless, the three of them, DiBiase, Rhodes, and Manu, they all dumped Snitsky, I believe. And then DiBiase dumped both his partners, so they were mad at him. And it came down to DiBiase and Shad, and DiBiase dumped him, but then it turned out Regal had been outside, and he ran in and tossed DiBiase, so Regal gets a title shot next week, and that kind of confused me until they mentioned that Raw's in England next week. So that will be a huge match with the babyface Regal fighting for the Intercontinental Champion and probably going down in defeat, because that's usually how it works. Shane and Steph arrived, and they got out of the limo, and Shane chose just that moment to tell Steph, hey, you know what, I'll take care of things, you go chill. So she did. They show the highlight of Shane buying WCW. Vince McMahon has aged so much in the past 7 years. He looks so young in this clip, and now he does not. Orton was in the ring. He noted that the McMahons were arrived, so he demanded Shane come out.
Hold on, I need to cut you off here. Now, how about just some notes on the show? We already reviewed the whole thing yesterday. Just tell us the stuff that really stuck out for you.
The reason I'm doing this, Brian, is because if I do that, it would involve me sitting here silently reading my notes carefully and going over
the forget
clips.
The notes. Off the top of your head, what were your thoughts on Raw last night?
Show was really long. As evidenced by the fact they had that really, really stupid dance segment, which accomplished nothing. It was not all that funny, and that also went on forever.
That was horrible.
That was very, very horrible and never-ending. And the cage match was good, and Big Dave got jobbed significantly worse than ever. He got jobbed bigger by being a champ for a week than if he had just lost to Cyber Sunday. And it kind of it goes back to the point where they just have too many pay-per-views now, where they have to try and put together a pay-per-view main event quality match. And Survivor Series will be their third pay-per-view in, like, 9 weeks, and their fourth in 2 months. And
I recall correctly, they did a four-way to determine who got a shot at Jericho. Was it a four-way or something wacky and Batista won?
I think it was a three-way.
They had some sort of qualifying match. He didn't have to win that match.
No.
He didn't even have to be in that match. That was their own fault.
And they would counter that argument by saying, well, we couldn't put JBL in the main event of a pay-per-view, to which my response is, then you shouldn't have that many pay-per-views.
Or just have somebody else. Or headline with a tag match, for Christ's sake. You've got two brands on each pay-per-view.
Yes.
Have SmackDown be the title match, and Raw can do a wacky tag or something like that.
Yes.
This was their own goddamn stupid fault, and so it's too bad for them, and it sucks for Dave. And I have no problem with Jericho as the champion, but this was just...
Well, it also doesn't help that that title, let's count since WrestleMania... Undertaker won it, then he lost it to Edge, Edge lost it to Punk, Punk lost it to Jericho, Jericho lost it to Dave, and Dave lost it back to Jericho. That's all in like 8 months.
Yeah.
That's bad.
I think everybody's expecting that Cena's going to beat Jericho, but I do not. I think that Jericho is going to squeak past Cena, and then I think he is going to squeak past Cena and Dave at the December show, and then probably lose it to one of them at Royal Rumble, and that sets up the WrestleMania match between the two of them at the actual WrestleMania pay-per-view. And you're building up WrestleMania with a guy that looked like a fool on this particular show. So
he also got cut open with a metal thing. That had to suck.
Yeah, it appeared to be a hard-way juice since they banned the blade. That does, in fact, suck to be him. What do you think of Mae Young?
Oh, my God, that terrified me.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was excited about it at first, and then I saw her start to go, and I was like, well, yeah, that's the best you can do, I guess. And then when she threw a forearm and then started to stumble backwards and hit her head on the rope, I was concerned she'd immediately broken her neck. No, she cannot be allowed to compete anymore. I know she wants to. God bless her. I think it's sweet. They want to give her a chance, and I think it's great the crowd loves her, but... if she cannot throw a forearm without me being concerned that she will fall down and die, then it's time to stop.
Let's play a song here, and then we're going to talk about the real main event of the evening. Obama versus McCain. No, I'm joking. We're going to talk about Hogan Celebrity Wrestling. But first this, everyone. So they did a little exam. They put some booties on my feet. They put a little wacky thing on my head. They cleaned my cock. And about 10 minutes later, I was called into the room. Go into the room, and they put some drops in my cock, which numb your cock, and the doctor gets this little pen, and he goes, I just need to make a dot on your cock. So then they lay you down on this bed, and you lay on this bed, and they move this device over your head. It kind of comes down real close, and they hook this thing around your cock, but my cock was numb. So I couldn't really feel anything. So they put this thing, and they kind of open your cock real wide, and they put this thing around it, and what it does is it suctions your cock ball up, and as it suctions your cock ball up, the room goes dark. And then all of a sudden, it's unsuctioned. Apparently, during that 20 seconds, a laser is cutting a flap in your cock. It was totally pain-free. A scalpel comes at your fucking cock. You can see it touching your cock, but you can't feel it. They're moving your cock. The woman goes, 19 seconds. And all of a sudden, you just hear... for 19 seconds. That is the laser.
What an amazing original story this was.
At your cock, then they take little things off of you. They brush something over your cock and they put some drops in it, which you don't feel.
I'm sorry,
and
this drop is better.
And you sit up and they walk you out of the room immediately. You go into another room and you sit there. And the doctor looks at your cock with his little machine. And then he gives you a little bag of sunglasses and stuff. And then you
fuck your ass!
First of all, cocks are just funnier than eyes anyway. But it's not even just the word cock. You're not saying it. You're, like, barking it.
You're how else do you say it. Cock?
Cock. But a few more quick thoughts on Raw. I do think it was hysterical that in Mike Adam Lee's last appearance, he fucked up like no one has ever fucked up I've ever seen before. This is the worst promo I ever saw. And I cannot think it fitting that his last promo was actually his worst. That was tremendous. Yeah. I also thought... I say this a lot, but it's continually true. It sucks to be CM Punk.
Yeah.
I thought they had one more big pay-per-view match. I thought he would face Orton at Orton's pay-per-view return, and I thought he would do the job there, but at least it would be a big match. No, they gave it away for free on Raw, and it went 3 minutes, and it was a DQ, and at the point of the DQ, CM Punk quietly, meekly rolled out of the ring and disappeared. After he was being about to be beaten clean, yes. That may have been a bigger burial than Big Dave. And
there were a lot of burials on the show.
There were a lot of burials in the show, including DX burying Miz and Morrison, although I thought that was hysterical.
But who got the biggest burial on the show?
Move! What you start?
Get out the way! Get out the way!
What you start?
Get out the way! Move!
What you start?
Get out the way! Get out the way!
What you start?
Get out the way!
Get out of the way, Batista! Jobber!
One last quick note. One of the great clips they showed was Jeff Hardy almost upsetting Undertaker for the world title 6 years ago. He's been coming up short for 6 years now.
You know, the headline this week should have just been Big Dave Sund. What was I thinking? What did I use?
Epic fail for Big Dave.
Epic fail for Big Dave.
Which is not bad.
Hell, it was.
It's too bad you couldn't have worked Kim Boned into that somehow.
Batista Kim Boned. That would have been fine. Yeah. Well, so there you go. Let's talk about Hogan's show. The best show on television, everybody. Al Snow's not a big fan if you listen to the program today, but we can't all be. We can't all be. It's like an election. Not everybody votes for the same man. Votes are split. It's like the board. Not everybody's going to like me. I think most people do, but there are going to be some that don't. And not everybody can like Hulk Hogan celebrity wrestling. Because quite frankly,
I don't believe that's true.
Some people are just dumb.
Well, there are some people who have... Well, I didn't hear... I don't know exactly what Al Snow had to say, but there are some people who just think things should be a certain way.
Well, Al was mostly upset about people that might want to compare this show to Tough Enough. And he is correct. This cannot be compared to Tough Enough.
No.
Tough Enough, at least... I think people that watch Tough Enough gained a respect for the business and for the people involved. You do not get that watching this show. This is a show to watch to see wackiness, to see horrible wrestling, to see goofball personalities, and to see Brian Knobbs trying to teach people how to wrestle.
Yes.
That's what this show is all about. If you can be entertained by that, then this show is money. So anyway, let's see. I guess the gist of the story here was that character development week. And Jimmy Hart was involved in developing their characters when he proceeded to do so by taking them into a room with a bunch of costumes and saying, grab something you like, which they did. And of course, since there were costumes everywhere, everyone grabbed something wacky and stupid. And then he came back and was appalled. And I was like, well, what the fuck did you bring him in there for? You brought a bunch of goofball celebrities into a room with a bunch of costumes, and you're upset that they all chose something goofy? What the hell did you expect? So, they got a browbeating by Eric Bischoff, who I guess now is supposed to be this great genius of wrestling, despite the fact that he's a fool, and you can quote me on that, destroyed WCW, this creation that he had created, and in the end failed, another epic fail. So anyway, he's giving them this big speech about what they need to do, and basically he said, find out who you are. Is this a mystery who these celebrities are?
Isn't that what... And Danny Bonaduce said he's famous for being Danny Bonaduce.
Which ended up being his gimmick.
Yes, and the same thing for Dennis Rodman.
Yeah.
He was Rodzilla, which is... Sadly, they did not use his other basketball nickname of Worm, which is a much better name. But yeah, Dennis Rodman's a famous guy because, yes, he plays basketball, but also because he dyes his hair and has lots of tattoos and piercings, and he does outrageous things like show up for his book signing in a wedding dress.
This week they did the tie up, working the arm, and working the ropes. Not running the ropes, working the ropes. I've not heard this phrase before.
I don't know.
Perhaps my trainers were not of the caliber of Knobs and Beefcake. But anyway, they went to work the ropes, which involved running into them. I always called it running the ropes. But anyway, they did that. They were bad. And Nikki was getting all these burns and everything like that. And Rodman, whose rotator cuff was destroyed beyond repair last week, was working this week.
He was fine.
I call shenanigans.
Everything was ready to go. That was strange.
I think when he flew off that top rope and pretended like he was hurt, he was pretending like he was hurt. I called bullshit on that whole thing.
Well, in that case, he should get extra points because the selling was so great. He worked the workers.
I think they all knew. I think this whole thing was 100% from the beginning bullshit. Besides, he flew off the top and he's writhing around like that. Phony! So he was back. And anyway, Hogan showed up and worked with... In one camp, he worked with Bonaduce, who was starstruck and froze and was utterly beyond horrible.
They did a lockup, and then Hogan put on a headlock, and they circled the ring first. They circled, lockup, headlock, and I swear to you, this is the worst wrestling action I have ever seen in my life. And it involved Hulk Hogan, who is not Ric Flair.
It involved Danny Bonaduce.
But yes, it was 100% Danny Bonaduce's fault. And yeah, it was wretched. And then he twisted Bonaduce's arm, and Bonaduce twisted his, and I feel so humbled for predicting this man would win. He needs to be kicked off the show immediately.
he's He's no good.
No, and there's no hope for him.
And then Screech worked with Hogan, which was awesome because he said, Hogan wasn't trying to hurt me, but I could feel the power, and he could kill me if he wanted to. And I thought, he can't move.
Yes, he's very immobile at this point. He is much larger than Screech, though. That's still true.
Screech said he learned a lot about being big from the Hulkster. Being big. So then it was time for the wrestling. We got Candy Girl, who was Nikki, and the winner, who was Screech.
Awesome. That's a great name.
Against the Mistress of Mayhem, which was Erin. That's M-O-M, by the way. She wanted to be a hot mom. And Rodzilla. So anyway, they've now reached the point. They all had their costumes on, so they looked like wrestlers at least, to a degree. So they've now gotten to the point where their matches are merely bad wrestling matches.
I would say that Screech and Rodzilla have improved to the caliber of, for example, Tulalip Championship Wrestling.
Wow.
Yes.
I don't know if I'd go that far. Maybe a couple people there, but not the whole crew. So anyway, Erin got tossed off the top onto Dustin with a crossbody, and her big thing on the show was she didn't want to go home without having done something.
Yeah.
So there
was a big flare up as Team Nasty was putting their match together where she complained because all she was doing was selling and running the ropes, and she didn't want to do anything. All I could think was, Erin Murphy is concerned that she's not going to get all her shit in.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Then we had Mr. Not-So-Perfect, who was Todd Bridges, and Mean Bean, who was Butter Bean, against the Red Hot Redneck, which was Trishel, and Dangerous Danny Bonaducci. Trishel looked rather hot in her little outfit, but I would be remiss if I did not mention that whatever Nikki was wearing, she needs to wear every week. Amazing outfit.
They were both fetching. I will say when Trishel came out, they cut to the judges, and Hulk Hogan just put his thumb against his fingers in the international gesture for money.
Yeah.
He was quite impressed with this.
Trishel wasn't too bad. And Bonaducci made a hot tag, and they did some spots with Butterbean. They pantsed him. And anyway, they finished with Bonaducci hitting Bridges with a high cross off the top. Whoever's the agent on the show needs to be fired, because we had two matches with the same fucking finish.
Yes, there's only two matches on the show. You couldn't get that straight?
So anyway, this was better than the opener, and the judges gave him a standing ovation. So, of course, they won. And it was time to cut somebody. And it came down to Erin and Nikki. And as we all know in this business, tits. So Erin got axed. That was the end of that. And they did this video package afterwards like she had died.
It was the leave the memories alone all over again.
Yeah.
Ric Flair's retirement is equal in their eyes to Erin Murphy leaving the show.
Well, maybe not. Because like Ric Flair, they're teasing a return as Nikki next week apparently has a flip out. And they tease that she walks out so that Erin can come back. Wow.
I can't wait.
This show rules. This show rules. Did a 0.25 this week.
That doesn't rule.
Which you can at least round up to a 0.3. But
barely.
Still, 0.25. I, as noted in the daily update, I didn't want to write anything about this because I didn't want Eric Bischoff to yell at Dave again for it. But rating sucks. That's no good. That's now 0.5 above the average. 0.5. Please, spin that some more. They're going to tell me this week that the show had, 23 million viewers. I'll bet they'll tell us this week. Because you got to add 7 every week to the first 2 weeks. So, yeah, that was that. All right, let's take another segue with a song here. And,
you know, there was a bit on the show where Hogan was talking about how important showmanship and character are. And then he described himself as physically limited.
No shit.
In 2008, that's obviously true, but I think he meant over the course of his career, and I was flabbergasted at this. False humility is not what Hogan is known for.
Sure he is. He does this every now and then.
So, yeah, an amazing statement by an amazing man.
He is, in fact, amazing.
When the moon hits your eye like a bigger pizza pie, that's
funny!
When the world seems to shine like you've had too much wine, that's
funny!
Have we ever played this
one?
I think we have, but it's still awesome.
motherfuckers Faber stole my music.
Who did?
Uriah Faber.
Why don't you kick his ass and take it back?
I may have to. I should come out to that next time. Faber. I know I've told the story before, but when we were in Vegas for whatever that show was, I met him and I shook his hand, and he's one of those Danny Hodge dudes where he's going to be 70 years old and he's just going to crush an apple in his bare hands.
Yes.
I'd have to hit him with a pipe first.
I say that like I met him, like I know what I'm talking about, but I assure you, he'll be scary for a long time.
I will allow him to use my music, because that's just the kind of guy I am. You know, I've borrowed things in my career, of course. So,
you did not invent the figure four leg lock?
I did not invent the figure four or the super kick.
No, neither one.
Or tights with a broken heart on them.
No.
Or black boots.
Or
bad
short
haircuts.
Black hair, yeah.
Or a pale physique. Or, you know.
Or even the senton.
I didn't.
Or chops.
No. What did I invent in my career?
I do remember...
Let me think about this for a while.
I actually remember. I have one.
Ladder match.
The ladder match?
I didn't invent the ladder match, but we invented the finish where one guy grabs the belt, but he's got slippery fingers, and so he drops it, and the man on the ground catches it.
That particular finish of the ladder match.
I did invent that one. Had never been done before the Youth Wrestling Federation.
I also remember once you were working on a Shining Wizard Enziguri, and you thought this was going to be so awesome and so cool, and then like a week later somebody did it on pay-per-view and you gave up.
I'm sure they were actually probably at the... maybe Jim Barnett had seen it.
Sure.
And he stole it and took it to WCW, and somebody used it. I remember doing that, actually. It was just because it was easier than the knee. It looked pretty cool.
It actually did look cool.
Then I don't think I ever did it again. All right. I suppose we should talk about SmackDown. People have been ringing all night, and I'm not picking up. I don't know why people have just randomly called the radio show number. There's no ringer on the phone, everybody, and there's no voicemail. So the only way that I know that you're calling is there's a little dealie bob here that blinks red.
A light.
Yeah, a little light. And I sit here and I... Just throughout the day, every now and then, I'll look over, and it's like, it's ringing. And I'm just like, what are you doing? You think I'm just going to answer and chit-chat? I'm usually working. When I have time to chit-chat, I'm doing this goddamn show. And then I'll put something up on the front page alerting you to give us a little call, a bojangle, so to speak, and we'll chat about whatever's on your mind. But no call-ins tonight. And if you want to know why, listen to today's Figure Four Daily. The gist of the story being that I got my second piece of defective equipment in a row.
Oh, no.
God is my witness. I did. And actually, the funny thing was, it took me 2 weeks to figure out that it wasn't my fault. And when I finally called in to let them know that this thing wasn't working right, they asked me for the serial number so they could do a swap. And what do I find when looking for the serial number? Why, there's another fucking serial number right here on the front that reads Fox News.
So you got cheap
used
equipment.
These assholes sent me a used and apparently defective unit under the guise of it being new.
Tremendous.
So anyway, I'm going to get a new one here. But until then, I want to use this calling equipment as little as possible because it sounds like shit. So anyway, let's get SmackDown going here. And then I think we're supposed to read shout-outs today. But I think I only got one, so that won't take long. I keep forgetting today's the free show. It's a free show, everybody. So if you like it, sign up to figure4online.com and get more. Just go to the website. I used to do these big, long spiels, but everybody listening to this right now, just go to wrestlingobserver.com or figure4online.com. Click on the audio tab on the front page. There will be a list of like 15 shows that have been done in like the last 7 days, and you couldn't hear any of them. You can't hear them unless you sign up. See those newsletters on the right-hand side? You can't read them unless you sign up. There's two observers and one figure four a week, and we've got hundreds of back issues of both. Got thousands of radio shows. I don't even know how many radio shows we have. Actually, you know what? This will be part of the plug today. I'm going to see how many radio shows we've got right now in the archives. For you freeloaders that want audio and drive places or whatever the case might be, whatever you do with your life where you could potentially listen to audio. All right, let's see. We've got 69 Wrestling Observers in the archive, Wrestling Observer Radio. We've got 73 Dragon King shows. We've got 55 Dr. Keith shows. We've got 450 Brian and Vinny shows. We've got 602 Figure Four Dailies. We've got 124 five-star radios. We've got 136 Adam and Mike shows. And we've got 14 episodes of Tough Talk. 1,523 shows are available in the archives right now. Every single show we've ever done is available to you. And as far as observers, and this is only since June, we've got 50 observers in the archive. And for Figure Four Weekly, we have got 376 issues in the archive. So sign up today, and you can have full access to every single solitary piece of that. And we'll read a shout-out later to let you all know why you should get involved. So, Vinny, what did you think about SmackDown?
Looking over it now, I thought it was generally an okay show. As far as I recall, it certainly wasn't great.
As far as you recall, this does not bode well for this program.
That's true. If it was particularly good, I would have remembered it.
Yes.
Yeah. I'm looking over it now. It looks like largely a show. And there's not really nothing. It was just, we watched 52 SmackDowns a year, and this was one of them.
Let's talk about the Masked Magician.
All right. Well, they teased this performance earlier. In fact, I'm looking over here on my notes, and during the opening tag match, they teased Masked Magician, and they just put the graphic up on the screen, and I actually wrote, Masked Magician, I hope he's on this show. Be careful what you wish for, everyone, because sometimes you will get it. So, in fact, it came up next.
It's not like going to cut you off here. I'm looking at the top stories from AP. We're, of course, following the election here on the Brian and Vinny show. And there's an analysis. Obviously, we've had a historic night. Obama's the new president-elect. And there's an analysis by this man. It reads, next up after Obama win, governing.
That's true. He does not get to go party.
That proves, in fact, that we could do a political show here on this website.
If that guy has a job as a political writer.
I have a similar depth of analysis about politics. So that may be next. All right, go on.
So yes, they did the segment with the Masked Magician. It was following the tag match, and I thought, oh boy! And then with each passing nanosecond, I got more and more and more disappointed with what happened. So Jesse and Festus were there in SmackDown t-shirts. The Masked Magician was there, and Maria was there. And it was established that Maria was going to help the Masked Magician do a trick. And they had a trick called the Twister.
This was a trick, all right.
Oh, this was a rib. And Maria climbed into the box, and the Magician locked all these doors. And the gimmick you see is that he closed the door over her body, so you only see her head, which was in another box. And then he would turn her head all the way around, like Linda Blair in The Exorcist. And the trick was that she would turn her head until her face was off camera and you could not see into the box. And then she would just turn her head back to the left as the magician turned his head all the way around, or turned the box all the way around. And this is abundantly clear this is what the trick was. It was very, very bad. It was very lame. I cannot imagine that the children who are the show's audience would have been fooled for even a second. And after twisting her head 3 or 4 times, he opened the box, and there was her twisted body, which was, they cut to a wide shot, and you could see that the twisted up body was actually like a foot in front of where her knees were at the bottom of the box. This was awful. Awful, awful, awful.
And worse, they didn't even reveal how it was done.
No, we'll never know the secret of the twister.
What a shitty tease this was for that program.
So, yes, at this point, Festus was just being Festus. He was just standing there in his vegetative state. And Jesse pointed at the magician and said, you better untwist her or Festus will get upset. And so the magician closed the box and he locked the doors. And he twisted her head back the other way 3 or 4 times. And out she popped. And this went forever. It was lame. It was the worst magic I've ever seen. And let me tell you something. The first time I went to Vegas, I watched a show called Showgirls of Magic, which is tricks of slightly higher caliber than this, except it was done by girls with no shirt on. They did a levitating body trick where the big finish was The body has a curtain placed over it, and they levitate it up into the air. And then the girl goes to yank the curtain up off the body, only the curtain got caught on the wire frame that was supporting it, and she pulled, and it wobbled, and she yanked and yanked and yanked, and we could all see the metal frame jiggling back and forth. And finally, she just grabbed the curtain and shut it closed. And the audience just sat there in depressed silence. I couldn't believe what I had seen. And I looked around the audience, and no one could believe what they were doing, what their lives had come to. That was better than this.
This was so bad because it was like, he shut the box, and he opens up the lid where her head is, and he starts turning it around, and it's so obviously like a wig.
Yes, the back of the box was open, and you could see her hair, which was, as you noted, a wig.
So he's turning this fucking thing around, and there's this wig, and I'm like, God, this is bad. And I figure, okay, this is going to be one of those bad tricks where, you know, I used to do magic, in fact. I used to be a magician. That was my first job. I did tricks at or magic shows at kids' birthday parties, and you'll get a trick where you start doing this trick, and everybody thinks they know how the trick is being done. But then you surprise them with real magic. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
We did not get that here. This kept getting worse. And then it ended. I have no earthly idea what they were trying to accomplish here.
But it was a failure. That I am sure of.
We got to call Granny.
We do.
For both election results and because it's her birthday.
All right.
Hold on, everyone. We've got Granny here on the phone, everybody, and we're calling to wish you a happy birthday!
Wow, thank everybody for all the things they sent.
Oh, wow, you got a bunch of things from different people?
Well, I got a bunch of emails for happy birthdays.
Wow. That counts. Well, that's pretty cool, Granny. I don't know where everybody got your email, but that's pretty exciting.
Now, well, no, it was on your web.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
Well, Granny, what'd you do for your birthday today?
I did my newsletters, and now I'm trying to fight the flu. I think I'm getting sick.
Oh, that's no good.
Yeah.
What a terrible news.
Well, I'm taking some medication, so we'll see what happens.
Well, okay. That's good. Take care of yourself there, Granny. Now, are we doing something this coming weekend? There's no pay-per-view Sunday, is there, Vinny?
Yeah, we're going to Applebee's.
I believe there is, actually.
There is? What's the Sunday?
Isn't it a TNA show?
Oh, no. What? Oh, well, we'll still make it work as long as it's right at 5:30, Granny.
Yeah, that's what we planned on at 5:30 on Sunday at Applebee's.
Well, now the whole empire is going to be there, but...
Well, they don't know which Applebee's.
Well, that's true. Let's not give them any more information there, Granny.
Now, okay, good.
Now, Granny, what? I know you don't want to talk politics here tonight, but any thoughts on this big election this evening?
Well, I have only one thing to say.
What's that?
Is it profane?
Be careful what you wish for.
Alrighty, then.
That's my only comment.
Okay, well, that's comment speaks volumes, Granny. You didn't go out for any parties tonight, I take it.
There's what?
You didn't go out for any parties tonight?
Oh, no. In fact, I was in bed when the phone rang.
Oh, man. Did you at least vote?
Oh, yes, I voted.
Oh, okay. Well, Granny, I hope you get better. I'm not going to keep you on the phone because I know you're ill.
I'll just be here and thank everybody for the well wishes.
All right, and we'll call you tomorrow to make sure you're okay.
Alrighty.
All right. Well, have a good night.
Okay.
Okay, bye.
Bye-bye.
Oh, Granny. Oh, Granny.
So I tell you, she was not with a group in downtown Seattle that was having a big party down
she
in the market.
She may not have been down in Seattle having the big party. So, all right, let's do a couple notes on this show. Just some notes. I want to know why the Goga Plata, since it was banned and Undertaker used it, why is Undertaker not banished again? Why doesn't Vicky just banish him? Are we supposed to forget that whole thing happened? Can she re-banish him?
Apparently she is limited to one banishment per person.
This is stupid.
I want to know why Vicky, she after noting in the opening promo that it was Halloween and she was happy, and saying that the Undertaker's brains will explode in mind-bending terror.
Those were exact words.
Yes. And then she ended her promo with it with a fantastic high-pitched cackle. All I could think was, why is she not in a witch costume?
Well,
it's Halloween.
I think she was supposed to be. She is a witch. Which led us to the Kali segment I'll talk about later. But your brains... Let's think about this line, by the way. Your brains explode in mind-bending terror?
Mind-bending terror.
Aren't your brains and your mind the same thing?
I think a philosopher would explain that the brains are the actual matter inside your head, inside your skull, and your mind is like connected to your soul, your spirit. I'm trying to...
So like in your heart?
Yeah, basically.
My mind is in my heart? No, it's in my brain. So how's my brain going to explode with brain bending terror? Is it going to bend or is it going to explode?
Well, bend.
Who writes this bullshit?
No, this is not bullshit. This is awesome. It may have been illogical, but it was still awesome.
It was horrible.
No, it was great.
Then we had the witch, which was horrible. They pretended like these were real warts in the Kiss Cam segment, and Kali kissed her, and you wonder why his babyface turn didn't work on Raw.
Yeah.
Shit like this.
And I asked myself, where is this going? What's going to be the payoff to these weeks of the Kali Kiss Cam?
I don't know. We had the Miz and Morrison beating the Colons. It was fine, setting up DX. We had Kendrick.
Although I guarantee you that now that DX match is over, this win over the tag team champions will be forgotten.
Kendrick needing help to beat is Jimmy Wang Yang.
He didn't beat him.
Oh, to get DQ'd.
Kendrick needed help to get DQ'd against Jimmy Wang Yang. The match was fun, but that makes no sense whatsoever. I do want to note that before this, right before this match, they cut to the announcers in their Halloween costumes, and Taz, I think, was Army guy, and JR was Navy guy, and they were making Popeye jokes, and JR was flexing, and Taz grabbed his arm and said, "Whoa, it's actually getting hard." And JR took this the wrong way, and his alarm was so fantastic. He was not comfortable with Taz saying this at all, and it ruled.
We had Kane and Henry and MVP against Matt Hardy and Jeff Hardy and Ray Jr., which wasn't much. They were in San Diego, so the people went nuts for Ray.
It was fun.
Yeah.
Babyfaces ran wild. They got the heat on Ray. They did a finish. It was fine.
We had the Kozlov segment where he demanded a title shot from Hunter, and the best part of it was actually when Hunter was comparing this to Rocky IV.
I know what you're going to say.
He's like, you know, Rocky IV, there was this big bad Russian, and he beat everybody, and he even killed Apollo Creed. And suddenly everybody goes, boo!
He booed the death of Apollo Creed in Rocky IV.
Awesome.
That ruled.
That was great.
I also noted, I say this again, but there are plenty and plenty of anti-John Cena signs. All I could think was, he's not even there.
Yeah.
He's a heat machine.
So we had the women's match, which was notable because they did the switcheroo with Brie Bella, and I have no idea what's happening with this gimmick now, because what happened was she was going under the ring and Victoria tried to stop her, and suddenly an extra foot came out and booted Victoria away, allowing the switcheroo to occur. And Taz said, and this is pretty much a direct quote, "I know it's Halloween, but how many legs does she have?" Then, in a Vinny moment, they completely moved on, with no analysis whatsoever of Brie Bella having a third leg.
Yes.
Have they just given up?
It's I don't know. At some point they do have to reveal what's going on here, but they are holding out as long as they can. It's the kids show, Brian. It's a cartoon. This show is
going to be
cartoon. I understand
that, but don't mention it if you're not going to analyze it. Do you know what I mean? How can you offhandedly mention that a woman apparently has a third leg?
Well, only when she needs it, by the way.
And not follow this up at all?
Yes.
How?
Well, I don't know. I also don't know how they can do the finish, and Michelle would have, I think it was Natalia or somebody, but Michelle had somebody beaten, and then Maria stole the pin, and Michelle got pissed.
Yeah.
Michelle McCool is going to turn heel.
Well, no, they got a title match coming up.
Yes, but they're
trying to put heat on it.
Why? What's the point? They're not going to have heat for this match anyway.
You got to try.
I think that's a waste of time.
Vince, this is like the people that say, why bother hyping up Lesnar versus Couture because everybody's going to buy it anyway?
Well, this is the opposite of that. This is why bother hyping Michelle versus Maria because nobody's going to buy it anyway.
Well, maybe they'll get just one person.
Impossible.
Mathematical
impossibility.
It only takes one to start a revolution.
Okay.
There you go.
I think either explanation, whether they're building heat for that match or whether the Michelle McCool is going to turn heel, either way, it's ridiculous.
Then we had Taker and Chavo in a casket match. Bad. It's just boring. Nobody believed Chavo was going to win, even with Big Show and Kozlov out there.
Yes. It was a waste of time, basically. Although I will note, Taker hit Chavo with the tombstone and put him in the box eventually, but I thought he killed Chavo with this tombstone. I roared, I screamed, I hollered. Then I watched it back in slow-mo. He was fine. Undertaker's awesome.
Yeah, there you go. They seem to be building up a Big Show Undertaker casket match, which I have abso-fucking-lutely no desire to see.
Although there will be a Taker Big Show rematch of some sort. I hope it's not a casket match.
Undertaker threw him on the casket and he freaked out, so I believe that's probably where they're going, and they've done a couple of, in fact, I think it's SmackDown this week. I haven't read the spoilers, but I think they did a dark match. They'd build a casket match as the dark match. So there you go. This was a classic drop from back in the day.
Melina, she had her little rendezvous, remember, with Mr. Man around the 4th of July? What kind of woman is she? Who? Who?
Melina.
I'm talking about Chad Pat the referee. He had a sex change.
What do you
mean? I'm talking about Melina.
What kind of woman is Melina?
Fantastic. Oh, God.
All right, let's do the Jim Ross rap, and then we'll do the shout-outs here. The shout-out.
Time has arrived. We are broadcasting Raw Live from my ass. Boom, boom. I'd rather watch two old women slap my ass. Woo! That's as tough as a chunk of my ass. Here comes the biggest ass. The big man is back. Jim Ross, 350 pounds here.
Say hello to my ass.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the greatest spectacle on earth, my ass. 30 men will enter, my ass. You know what I mean. The most important thing to a tag team is my ass.
I totally agree with you, JR.
Here you go, King. Kiss my ass.
I wish you would jump on top of me, JR.
It disgusts me to see my ass.
My daughter's nursery rhymes are more aggressive than this.
I can't help but look at her butt, JR.
What?
This here is from Stu. He has overshot his target. The limit is 150 words. And young Stu here wrote 316.
Well, that's too much then.
316! But I'm going to give it to him since it's the only shout-out this week. Brian and Vinny, greetings from the UK. As a loyal online member since day one, a contributor to the newsletter, the website, and even a former guest on Figure Four Daily, amazingly, I've never cashed in my shout-out. It is about time. First and foremost, shout-outs to Modge, Freaky, and Stevie, my three buddies, with whom I just had an awesome trip to Chicago to see the most recent set of Shimmer tapings. We were there earlier this year in April and enjoyed ourselves so much that we felt the need to return and steep ourselves in Americana and freedom. Some more.
I'm sorry. A citizen of the United Kingdom traveled all the way to America to see Shimmer?
And experience freedom?
Also, yeah. Okay.
In tribute to your own epic tales, we went to a Brazilian steakhouse on the first night.
That's a much better reason to come to
America.
Not
for the anticipation of the rest of the trip. We may have died right there. The concept is outstanding, and we gorged like kings. We went to see the Chicago Blackhawks and enjoyed it so much we went back the next week. They were sucking before we arrived, and then they got good. Hooray! No buys for failing to meet Adam Summers, though. Next time, Adam. We also managed to blag our way into Chicago's rock radio station, The Loop, and get on air, whereupon we all fell deeply in love with resident DJ Erin Carmen. What a woman. Hearty shout-outs to Dave Prazak and mother-to-be Allison Danger for producing another quality Shimmer taping, and I guess apparently an offspring. Only further enhanced
hell of a show then.
With the surprise appearance of Larry Sweeney, a truly great man.
Maybe he's the father.
Big shout-outs to Lefisto, come on now, Nikki Rocks, and especially Cat Power for being awesome, and also for managing to drink all the men under the table at the after party. Oh, and a very drunk, awesome Kong. Think about it. Anyway, keep up the fine work, guys. Our next transatlantic trip may be to see WrestleMania in Houston, so we'll hope to meet you there. Thanks! That's from Stu.
Now, you have actually been to the Brazilian Steakhouse in Seattle, haven't you?
I have.
Is it as awesome as the rest of them? I have not been there yet.
You're
thinking about it.
I had not... Usually when I go to these places, I plan in advance.
Ah.
I build up a head of steam, so to speak.
You create space.
This did not happen before this one. I'd just been eating. I'd had a week or so of eating, and then like on the last day, I went to the Brazilian steakhouse and just didn't have the joy that I would have had if I had. So anyway, it was fucking good.
But not the experience that you usually have.
There's a drop for everybody right there. But not as good as this was nothing like the time that we went to the one in Orlando was actually great. But
I couldn't tell you which one was my favorite.
The first one in Vegas, which I will in fact be going to with Ed in San Antonio.
Oh, that's right.
Next week for the UFC show. So sucks to be you.
Sucks to be Vinny.
And that's, we all are well aware of that, so.
But even more than usual right now.
Yep. So anyway, that is that for today. Let's play one final song and call it an evening. And then, of course, back. Make sure you check out the radio show section of the board. We got a lot of big shows coming up. Looks like tomorrow, Wednesday, we will have Ryan Bader of Ultimate Fighter is going to be on the show. And, of course, Wednesday night is Wrestling Observer Radio with Dave Meltzer. On Thursday, we've got a Figure Four Daily with Buddy Wayne. We've got the Brian and Vinny show covering Impact. And on Friday, we will, in fact, be joined on Figure Four Daily by the one, the only, one of the best guests in the history of this program, Conan.
Yay.
Is going to be on the show. So make sure you check that out. And you freeloaders, by the way, you can't hear any of those unless you sign up. So get your ass in gear, WrestlingObserver.com, sign up. Here's an old classic.
A great choice.
Hey, look!
Trevor King! I'm coming!
Put us into camel clutch, break our back, and then fuck our ass.
So distressing.
What were they thinking when they did that promo? A skit. It's good to want things.
That's right. I was giving Buddy Wayne fellatio. I was pleasuring him. And I bought myself a blow-up doll. I just couldn't handle the loneliness.
Honky and laughing.
I loved you. I called you the one I was sex with.
Good God. You little cocksucker. I love you, Dad.
I love you, too.
You would have to break the man's back first.
You wouldn't have to break his back to fuck him in the ass?
Sure you do.
That was an argument.
How best to rape a man?
Done drugs, crime, homosexuality, and that's enough.
That's it from here, kids. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Well, bye.